All right, go to Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll keep those in prayer. And just, Lord willing, we'll get you some Brother Moore tapes so you can see a really good preacher. And he is great. He was the greatest Bible teacher I've ever met, and I've met a lot of good ones. In Ephesians chapter 1, I want to start in verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened may know what is the hope of His calling. Now, the one thing I want you to understand is there's not one hope in the Bible. There's one hope of the calling for you, the church. But there is other hopes in this Bible. And the real thing about rightly dividing the passages, the real thing about all that is to understand what gospel goes with what hope. And that's where churches have messed up for years. It isn't that they, it is that they're ignorant. It's not that they're wanting to be ignorant. It's just that it's a mystery and people don't get it until you start challenging. And but there's one hope of your calling. And what is the riches of His glory and His inheritance in saints and on and on. So I want to talk about the gospel that is connected with the church. The gospel connected with the Israel and their promise. And the Gentiles after we leave, what their gospel is. And I'm going back to a very simple message. Because we've got some new people here, and if I go back to where I'm at that point, it will confuse them entirely. So I want to take a very simple, but you will hopefully will find it somewhat profound. I hope. All right, go to Matthew. And go to Matthew. Let's kind of cut in the passage. Go to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. And by the way, I'm excited. Sunday we're having a dinner on the ground, so you make sure you bring some stuff. And I noticed that Miss Deborah will be basking in the sun down at Destin. Oh, I feel so bad for her. And Tony gets to only look at her for 3 days because he's got to work for 11. So they're not going to be here, but you want to be here. Trust me. Jeff's got us working on some music. It's going to actually sound good Sunday. Yeah. I want her strawberry cake to be sent. In Matthew chapter 10, I want to start in verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Levius, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Now, notice what their commission is. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them. Commanded them. You ought to underline the word command. Command is a very important word. If Jesus Christ, the head of the Israel army, says, I command you to go this way, and he's a much more than a commander of an army, wouldn't you say? This command is very, very important. He says, and commanded them, saying, go not in the way of the what? You know, how many times have we been in church and they teach in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John like Jesus came to us? I mean, I thought that my whole life. I went to church believing that Jesus Christ came to me, but he just told these 12 men, don't go in the way of the what? Well, I'm a Gentile, guys. I'd never heard that. And then I started studying this book. And if you study this book, if you believe this Bible, let me tell you, you will find it amazing. Go not in the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans. And what were unique about the Samaritans? They were half Jew and half Gentile. He said, don't even go to them. enter ye not. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's clear. Who's that? It ain't us. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that's the whole point. There is going to be a time when Israel, when the Lord is going to come back. This is the second coming now. And during that time of coming back, He is going to save Israel, and they are going to become a kingdom of priests. You understand? Their hope isn't the earth. Their hope isn't, it is the new city, Jerusalem. You all understand? They will be a priesthood. What is their hope? It's been the same hope since God named it in Exodus. Look in Exodus. Yes, we only believe in Romans through Philemon. Turn to Exodus 19. Okay. We're going to have trouble here without any water. Exodus 19. I want to start in verse 3 just to get the bottom end of the context. Look what it says. Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called him out of the mountain, saying, Thou shalt say unto the house of Jacob. Who's the house of Jacob? It's the 12 tribes. Who had 12 sons? Jacob. That is considered Israel. Exodus 19, verse 3. I'm just getting the context. Say unto the house of Jacob, and tell to the children of Israel. Is this something he wants published in the Gentile world? No, it's not obvious that that's the case. He's being very specific to whom this goes to. Verse 5 now. Therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then shall you be a peculiar treasure unto me above all, how many people? Which would include all Gentiles. So God, back in Abraham, there was one world, one group of people, and then God chose out a nation. And who did He chose out? Abraham. And He chose out Abraham, and all the world was then divided into two sectors. Israelites and Gentiles. Y'all understand? From that point on, God separated. You say, is God a separatist? Yes, He is. Y'all understand? God is a separatist. And if you have any problems with that, you need to go to Genesis chapter 11 and look at that. He took all those nations and separated them away so they wouldn't pollute His nation Israel. Now, that's what God did. And so God isn't a he's not a racist. Yeah, He's not a respecter of person. But I'm trying to think of that word. He's a separatist. He separated Israel out. He is not for one world language, one world government. That isn't God. God chose a nation, Israel, and gave them a hope. Look what He said. Then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of what? Priest. And holy what? Notice it didn't say nations. It isn't going to be a bunch of people. It's going to be Israel, folks. They've been given a hope. What is their hope? They're going to be a kingdom of priests. That's what the passage said. And then he goes on to say, these are the words that thou shalt speak unto the children of what? Israel. You're not going to speak it unto the world. This is Israel. Go to Mark. Better yet, Luke. Go to Luke. It's all good. Turn wherever you want. Luke. Luke chapter 1. Notice, again, the isolation to Israel. And the point that I'm trying to make is that now he already said there's a gospel of the kingdom is at hand. Remember that verse we left in Matthew? Well, that gospel is connected with the same hope of making Israel a what? A kingdom of priests. So why would people today be teaching Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as it is to the church when what the ideal goal was to teach Israel to prepare them to become a kingdom of what?
Priest.
Okay, that was kind of a question. I appreciate you answering that, but, you know, why would God do that? Because He has a very specific purpose for Israel. You understand? A very specific purpose for Israel in this Bible. And to mix them up and to mix the purposes and the callings up, all of a sudden get everybody confused. And I'll show you how it works. Are y'all in Luke chapter 1? Well, it's finally glad you got there. I'm joking a little. Lighten up. Verse 68. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for He hath visited and redeemed His people. Who's His people?
Israel.
John 1 verse 1, or John 1 verse 11 would be a good verse to put in there, and if I had a Bible pen, I would put that. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Who did He come for?
Israel.
I would probably, if I was a real Bible student, write in my Bible Romans chapter 15. If I was you.
Go back to the Luke verse.
68 goes to John chapter 1 verse 11. And then if I was a real Bible student, I would put Romans chapter 15 verse 8. All right, go to Romans 15, verse 8. You're going to get mad at me if it's verse 4, aren't you? I debated in my head. I went with my first answer, though. That's what they taught me in school. Ha, I was right. Always go with your first answer. All right, y'all there? Romans 15, verse 8. What was Jesus Christ doing on earth? Now, I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the what? Who's the circumcision, boys and girls? It's Israel, isn't it? Why is it that people think that Jesus Christ came to the earth to save everybody? They had no clue. He was there for one purpose. And one purpose only at this point. There's no exposure to that. If you rip out a Roman through Philemon out of your Bible and yank it out, you would have never known that He ever came for you. Not one time. It's an impossibility. There is not a verse in there that would give you a clarity. I'll give you $1,000 if you can find one verse. Every Gentile came through the covenant of promise of Genesis chapter 12 until Paul got on the scene. There was no hope for you. There wasn't anything built in for you. God hadn't written this book for you. He wrote it for Israel. And people get all bent out of shape. Look what it says. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to do what? To confirm the promises made unto the fathers. What was that promise? Put in there Exodus 19, 5 and 6. Wouldn't that go good there? What was the promise? That is exactly right. So write that in there. That's the hope. What did Jesus Christ come for? And you see how nice that is, brother? See? Exodus 19, 5 and 6. Y'all with me? I mean, that was what He was doing. He was confirming the promises made on, what did He say? That if you'll obey My voice indeed and keep My covenant, then shall you be a peculiar treasure unto me above all the people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be a kingdom of a holy
nation.
That was the promise. And that's what Jesus Christ is doing there. He's confirming the promises. In fact, it's absolutely amazing when you think about how Jesus tried to keep people from knowing that He was the Christ. Isn't that weird? Look, if you will, in Matthew 13. He didn't let everybody know what was going on. He tried to keep them in the dark. Jesus did. Yeah, Matthew 13. Aren't you glad you got me for about... I bet you guys probably wish you had Brother Moore, but, you know, you got me. I'm glad I'm here. Thank God. He did train me well. Look in Matthew 13. Now, you got to think about this whole deal. Up to Matthew 12, he's trying to get the nation in and try to get them involved. But after Matthew 13, he isn't trying to show anybody that he's the Christ. Are you listening to me? Not one person. And so he starts teaching in parables. What do you think? You know, I've always been, the parables are trying to teach us wisdom. How many have heard that? They weren't. You know what parables were? To keep the people in the dark. Let them not know. That's what the parables were. Unless you had the parables and the answer, why would you, listen. Anybody have a dollar in here? Yes, I kind of collect up my money. I just put it in the bank. Look. Thank... Oh, wow. Can you do it with a five? I think we'll have to. No, this is too much money. I'll feel bad. Because I'm going to keep it afterwards. You're too little to give me five. Your dad would get mad at you. You get an allowance? Can I be your brother? I have no allowance and they don't pay me here. It's terrible. I know, and then Jeff's trying to douse me, man. I'm like, it's bad. It's to keep you in the dark. You know what, listen. Does a magician tell you everything he knows?
No.
You know what Jeff says magicians are? They're fabulous liars. Legitimate liars. Well, when you're telling parables, guess what you're doing? You're hiding the truth.
I thought that was sales.
Yeah. Brother, in your case, that's true. We would believe anything out of a Reinhardt. Hey, I should do a Reinhardt commercial and charge them. The parables weren't to give wisdom. But listen to me. The parables were to keep you in the dark. It's the sleight of hand of a magician. You say, would Jesus do that? Yeah, if he didn't want anyone to know what he was talking about. Well, look what he said. Verse 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And a great multitude were gathered together unto him. So that he went into a ship. I mean, there are thousands of people there. Don't you get the picture? Watch. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables. Saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he had sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. And the fowls came and devoured them up. And some... fell upon stony places. And when they had not much earth, forthwith they sprung up, and because they had no... How many have heard this parable time and time in church? But you know what you've never been taught about this parable? It's exactly the thought of the parable. We've heard it all. How many could tell me the answer? Huh? Absolutely, the truth is let known. But look what he says. He gets done with all this. I'm not going to read the whole parable. You've heard it 100 times. What I want you to do is come down. Verse 9. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples are dumbfounded. They are taken back. And they asked the Lord, the disciples came and said unto him, thank you. You're very, very nice. Appreciate it. Now listen to me. The disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? That's a great question, isn't it? You want to know the answer? How many want to know the answer? It's in the next verse. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is what? What is Jesus, a crook? What, is he holding something back? Yes, he is. Now listen, guys, I didn't learn this in Sunday school. You got to learn to believe your Bible. You all understand? These words mean very specific things. Very specific things. And you don't think the words in this Bible make a difference? It's huge. It's huge. Listen to me. Jesus Christ had a multitude. Don't you think if he wanted them to know, he would have told them the whole thing? But he pulls his disciples back, and then he teaches only his 12 disciples the answer to the parable. Isn't that weird? Isn't that a little bit weird? I never heard that in church. Been in church all my life. Never heard it. Preachers told me about the parable, never told me why they spoke in parables. Why did Jesus Christ speak in parables? He was teaching 12 men to prepare a nation to become a what? And Israel had already rejected him at this point. Isn't that interesting? You learned something tonight, didn't you? I mean, this whole thing is very important. What? Because of the hope of their calling. He's preparing 12 men to sit on the 12 thrones on and on. Now, go back to Matthew chapter 10. And this is where I'm going to grab this. I didn't know we had scotch in the back. All right, Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 7. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, at Matthew chapter 10 here, did they know that Jesus Christ was going to die? No, they hadn't got a clue. So what gospel are they preaching to these people? It's the gospel of the what? The kingdom. What is the... Go preach saying what? What is it? That is back here in the Old Testament. Now I've got this built just for the thing. Really, I'm going to put the cross. If you got any question, there's my telephone number. That's the cross. Prior to this, we're in Matthew through John. You got me? This is a timeline going, guys. They had no clue that Jesus Christ was going to die. No clue at all. They thought Jesus Christ was going to set up a kingdom right there. Then right there. And so everything they're teaching in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is what they call kingdom truth. Got it? That's what they're teaching. They're not teaching body truth. Who's teaching body truth? The Apostle Paul. Where did Paul get his truth from? Well, just like they got it from the Lord Jesus Christ. He got it from the Lord Jesus Christ. Both of them got it. Well, why did you... Yes?
If Jesus knew and He spoke in parables of what was to come, then why, when God in the garden, did He seem so shocked that, must I die? It seemed like that was a revelation to Him at that point. Did He know at this point that He was going to die and that was His purpose?
Yes. Yes, but you got to remember why, from this perspective, why when they did find out that He died, what the whole death was about. And that's revealed actually in Hebrews, which we're probably going to get to, Lord willing, in time. So let me see if I can just put that on the back burner for just 1 minute, and then I'll come back, because I think that's a very important question. Okay? They didn't know anything about the death at this point. They're not preaching a gospel that He died on the cross. They don't even know He just showed up. Hello? He just showed up. You know how many churches are teaching Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John like it's for the church? 98, I would say 99.9. It isn't for the church. It's for Israel to set up a kingdom and a priesthood and a holy nation. Now, people are confused. What am I supposed to do? Well, what do you do when you get across verses like this? Matthew 24. Aren't you glad you came tonight? I'm glad you came too. At least you get to turn your pages in your Bible. Amen? You may not wear it out all in one day, but you'll wear them out. Ask Tony. He's only been here like 2 years, and he's gone through like 15 Bibles. Now watch this. Verse 13. Matthew 24, verse 13. And he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Well, let me ask you the question. The question is what? What happens if you don't endure? Is that for us? Do you know how many people battle whether they're eternally secure or not? And it's because they're going back and grabbing kingdom message given to Israel, given to the understanding. You all understand? It's not given to you. It's not given to you. It's given to Israel. But if that was written to you, how do you know whether you've endured? You don't until you get there. You all understand? You understand? It ain't like free. Hey, come on, boys and girls. It ain't like you get the deal. Let's try another one. Matthew 19. Back up a couple pages. Do you know what? If this was true today, everybody in this room would be lost going to hell. If this passage is true today, if it's the gospel today, guess what? I'm telling you, Deborah and Tony would be going to hell missing Sunday. Thank God it's grace. Amen.
Amen.
Listen to this. Matthew 19. Verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? You know, that is an intelligent question. If I had one question to ask the Lord Jesus Christ, I think that would be it. How do you have eternal life? And he says, And he said unto them, Why callest me thou good? There's none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, do what? Do what? Most people can't even name them. Hello? Amen? They can't even name them. They're hypocrites. Say, well, I believe in being good. Oh, really? Do you keep the Sabbath day and keep it holy? Oh, I go to church for 2 hours. That's not what the commandment said. You know what it said? You should work 6 days, and the seventh day you should be rested for the Lord. All 24 hours. And not just you, but your manservants, your maidservants, your asses, colts, whatever, in your house one day. You don't cook, you don't go out and play, you don't hit golf balls, you don't go to the shopping centers. Everybody in here, according to that passage, would end up in hell. If Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is written to us. Thank God I don't believe it is. But if it is, that's the deal. He doesn't just say that. He named seven of the commandments, which are tough enough. Then he goes down to say, verse 20, the young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? Make it a little more difficult. He said, well, okay, if thou will be perfect, go and sell that thou hast. You know, if I was a real Bible student, there'd be some passages I'd have in my Bible right there. Luke chapter 12, verse 33. And where they actually did it, where they actually took this commandment literally, is in Acts chapter 2. Write this down. You're not going to remember it. You will not remember it. There's no way. I know that we have bright students in here. You will not remember it. Acts 2, verse 44 and 45. And another place is Acts chapter 4, 31 through 36. Do I need to go over that again? Now, he believed seriously in selling out. You know, there was one couple that sold out, but they kept back a little bit of the money. What happened? They went into judgment, didn't they? You think they were playing around with it? They weren't playing around. Ananias and Sapphira died. I mean, Peter had the way of reading their heart. Holy Spirit was in them. Now, why did they need to... and one last verse before we turn to Hebrews to answer Elaine's. I hadn't forgot you, Elaine. Matthew chapter 10, verse 38. Remember, what is Israel preparing? I mean, what is God preparing with Israel? A kingdom of priests. You got it? That's what their calling is. He is not preparing the church to be the priesthood. The church is his body. You with me? A total separation, total different information, total different hope. In Matthew chapter 10, look if you will in verse 38. He that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Point. And he that findeth his life by taking the mark shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. What did you have to do? You had to die. You had to die a martyr's death. That was part of the gospel. Be faithful unto death. That's, guys, listen to me. That's tough stuff. That ain't easy. That ain't easy. So I'm going to be faithful unto death. I think of that little girl at Columbine. If you'll deny the Lord, I'll let you go. She had to think about that a little bit, but she might have had this verse on her mind. What happens if I deny him, he'll deny me. She said, I'm not going to deny him. Poof! Out came her brains on the wall. Would you be willing to... take it that far. They didn't even understand it. That's how far gone they had gotten. That's how people are about the Bible today. They're so far gone they don't even know anything about the Bible. Yes?
You know, in order to be a king, you were supposed to be able to write out the
I didn't know that, but I'd be okay with that.
That was one of the requirements.
Maybe. Listen, this guy's still learning. But I hadn't seen it. I don't know that from my fact. But, you know, if Carlton's willing to stand for the Lord for that, I'm okay with that. I'll have to research it. But I do know that they had gotten so far away that it was bad. And they sent it off to a prophetess. And the prophetess told them what was in that book. You know what the king did? You know what the king did? He rent his clothes off and wept. Because he realized why his nation was in such bad shape. That was one great example in 2 Chronicles 34. The other one's in Hebrews 8. The Babylonian Empire had come in and raped that land and took all the people and all the gold and all the stuff out of it. And Ezra goes back and he builds the temple back, but the temple's exposed. So Nehemiah gets the claim to go and rebuild the city. And Nehemiah builds that city. And they have their very first service. And they couldn't stop the people from crying, for they finally heard the law again. And he caused them to understand it. You know why I know people aren't listening to the law? They really heard the law. They would fall down and beg God to save them. People are not hearing the law. They're this. They're doing this. of these are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that the Lord sprang out of Judah, of the tribe of Moses, spake nothing concerning the priesthood. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude or likeness, the words like likeness, of Melchizedek, there shall arise another priesthood, who is made not after the law of carnal commandments, but after the power of a what? He needed that endless line. See, Israel had a hope to become the eternal priesthood, and how could the only way they do it be? They had to die. That's why he says, if you don't take up your cross and follow me, you're not worthy of me. They had to die martyrs' deaths. If people knew that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you think they would stick in a church that was teaching that? Would they? I challenge you. Come on, would they? You know what people are? People are hypocrites. People have no idea what's going on in this Bible and have no clue, and they think they know something. You know what? Most people have no clue what's going on. Amen? And fascinating to me. And you know what? When you think about the hope of the church, and that's what I want to spend. I don't want to get to these Gentiles. Maybe we'll get to that next Wednesday, because I want to concentrate on your hope and why it's different. Okay? Now, I want you to go to Romans. And I want you to think for a minute. I want you to put on your thinking cap. Can you do that for me today, right now? Put your little thinking cap on and join us here. God had already saved 12 men, right? He lost one, right? And then he gained one. It was some. He was looking at what kind of Bible it was. It was kind of. I'm like, no, this is it. All right. Romans chapter 3, verse 20. No, Romans 3, verse 20. I was just repeating in case you didn't have your thinking cap on. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Why is that important? Well, didn't he just say to a guy in Matthew 19, verse 16, if you were going to enter into life, do what? A little bit louder, please. Isn't that what he said? Well, here, all of a sudden, therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. That is a really different message. And then he says in verse 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is what? What was manifesting back in Jesus' day? Righteousness in the law. Right? Now we're talking about, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest. You see that? Being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God. Now watch this. This is very important. You're talking about Bible versions and stuff. People are always asking me this. This is where the mustard meets the road. Okay, listen. Or rubber. I was thinking of a sandwich. I'm a little hungry, actually. I don't know where I came up with that. Doesn't matter. I'm hungry. I mean, I'm going to eat after I get done here, I think. Who's going to take me out to eat? Anybody? Anybody willing to buy the preacher a meal? I got an apple. Who's taking, Jeff's taking me out? No. You got $5. Hannah's going to take me out. Ha! Not only do I get the meal, I get the good-looking girl, too. Now watch this. This is where it changes. People doesn't make... Listen, this is so important. Listen to me. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. Now let me put this up here. This is very important. Faith of Jesus Christ. You know what all the other versions put in? Now, if you have faith in Jesus, whose faith is that? That is your faith. Right? The faith of Jesus is whose faith? One saying you're justified by His faith, one saying you're justified by your faith. Which one is it? Are you willing to stake all your eternity on it? Let me tell you, that's huge. It doesn't matter. It's funny, it changes it every single time it's mentioned. Not once, not twice, 5 times. Now, that's only a 2-letter word. It's only a 2-letter word. But if you're justified by faith of Christ, who are you justified by? His faith. And the justified in Christ, justified by your faith in Christ, whose faith is that? And you ain't got enough. That's a good point, brother. In fact, hold on to here. Just let me nail this point down, because when we're talking about justification, these people back here weren't justified by the what? The law. He told men to keep the commandments. Here he's saying, you're justified not by keeping the commandments, but you get the righteousness of God by the faith of Christ. Huge difference. Go to Galatians chapter 2. Hold on to here. I'm coming right back. Galatians chapter 2. When I saw this, my eyes were open. You know what? I want the truth. That's all I want. But you know what? Yeah, did you hear that verse? He said, buy it now and sell it not. That's in Proverbs. Very important verse. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Now this introduced your faith, but it isn't your faith that saves you here. Your faith is there, but that ain't what saves you. Now watch, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, one is one way. It's his faith. If your Bible said faith in Jesus Christ, whose faith is that? Your own. It's your own. Now watch how that wouldn't make any sense grammatically. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, I'm going to read it wrong, so y'all pay attention. But by the faith in Jesus Christ, even we believed in Jesus. That wouldn't even make any sense. We believe in Jesus. But if we believed in Jesus, it would have justified us. He wouldn't have had to add that second statement. Do y'all understand that? Grammatically, it wouldn't have been necessary. So it's almost as if God knew that somebody would mess it up.
So it's basically just talking about His faith and ours in that same.
Exactly. But what is it that justifies us?
His faith.
His faith is what justifies. We believe in that. We believe in His faith. What was the faith of Christ? Well, the faith of Christ is everything. It is salvation. And I'm going to get down to it. We're going to run just about 4 or 5 minutes long. Is that going to bother anybody? I'm not going to charge you extra, I promise. Is that okay? If you got to leave, you can leave. But God's watching. I'm just kidding.
He is watching.
He's here. Have we blown you away yet? Or are you having a good time? Or are you learning anything? You know, the first time is always a culture shock, isn't it? We actually enjoy studying the Bible. Okay, watch out, Dr. Hampton is on the stage. No. Chill out, enjoy learning the Word of God. All right, let's try it again. Verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by our own faith. No. With that we are justified by the faith of Christ and not by works. You're either justified by the faith of Christ or you believe you're justified by your faith in Christ. They're not the same. And they're not the same justification. One would send you to hell eternally and one. Now, I'm not saying the faith of Christ is right. That's your debate in your mind. I believe it's right. You understand? I believe it's right. You may not believe it. Say it doesn't make any difference. Hey, just keep trusting that. We'll find out at the end. But the reason it's so important is about what I'm about to tell you. Go to Romans 16. Yes. I didn't read verse 21. It's a good verse, though. If you want to read it, I would highly recommend it. Romans chapter 16. Now, the whole point of the faith of Christ is coming up. And I don't want you to miss it. I want you to see His faith. According to the revelation of the mystery. Y'all don't mind that word, mystery? You're going to want to put 1 Corinthians 2 verse 7 outside there if you don't have it in your Bible. It's going to come up in just a second. Which was kept secret since the world began. Now, if it had been kept secret, this beginning of the world, and it had been kept secret, isn't that what it said? Anybody? Damascus, whatever he gave to them, had it been known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Well, what was it? Go to 1 Corinthians 15. Here we go. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. He calls it my gospel. Three places. Romans chapter 2, verse 16. Romans 16, 25. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. Which I preached unto you, which also you received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. Going to be saved? Maybe saved? You are saved if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. When did he receive it? Acts 9. How that what? Christ died for our sins. Do you got that? What was the mystery? See, people have sinned. And they have sins. And according to the Bible, God made him to become sin for us who knew no sin. How much sin does that give us? Why? Because you did a good work? Because you repented? Because you blew your snot down at an old-fashioned altar? No, the reason why is God was gracious and made His Son to be sin for Him. But He couldn't let that be known. For had they known that fact, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. And so God kept it a secret and a mystery with a different hope to create a church that would fulfill and fill up the righteousness of God in Him. You know what we are? We're a church that houses the holiness and the righteousness of God. Thank you. I hate begging for those things. We're the church! Once, two, three times. Everybody here? You know why? You never really got the fact that it was completely gone. Because once you get that fact, you're not coming back to an altar. It's done. Is death. You got it? Why did Jesus Christ die? He was a sinner. Took mine. He was the sinless Son of God. He took mine. And had God let that out, they would never have crucified the Lord of glory. So he believed God all the way to the point of being nailed to the cross. And as he slapped those nails in, he yells out, listen to it. If you want to read the whole thing, it's in Psalms 22. My God! My God! Why hast thou forsaken me? You know why God forsook that man? Because I was there. And God could not stand in the presence of the filth that I am. And so God turned his back on his son. And he didn't have anything but faith at that point. That's the faith of Christ. He had to believe at that point that God was going to raise him. He was totally helpless to helping himself. He became a God-forsaken man just like we are when we get saved. That's the message. And you know what? If you'll believe that message, God's coming back with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And you know what? Two different hopes. He's not trying to make a priesthood out of us. We're the inhousing or the embodiment of the righteousness of God. The priesthood is a totally different function. And then you got those Gentiles that have another function in the tribulation. Any questions? 11 minutes after, I expect a 15% raise. I'm done.